Hello and welcome to Center for Victory's podcast, Up Your Best Day Yet. Here at Center for Victory, we're here to help unlock, reinforce, and enrich relationships through personal professional development. I am Eric Guy, Chief Victory Officer here at the Center for Victory. With me today, Miss Kimberly Marshall, great guest. So Kim spent many years working as a writer in the publishing and marketing industries through her own experiences, and this is what we're going to dig into today, so I'm pretty excited about this. She's made it her mission to change how HSPs, highly sensitive people, understand themselves and their abilities. She helps them to build stronger resilience, better relationships, and to live happier lives through using a process of self-exploration and positive mindset shifts, which she can tell us more about. And I'm really looking forward to this, Kim. It is great for people that are not highly sensitive to understand this perspective so they can better coach, lead, and work with those who are, as they have much to offer. So, welcome.
Hi. I'm so glad to be here. It's so nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
What else should we know about you before we get started? Is there anything else that we should know?
That's a very big question. Anything specifically that you're wondering to know about?
No, I just maybe just how you got into it first before we, you know, it'll probably lead into the definition first of highly sensitive people. What brought you to this point? Because I know you have a different background.
Yeah. So I actually found out I was an HSP or highly sensitive person when I was 19. I got pregnant pretty young, so I was looking for answers and having a lot of emotional responses that I just didn't understand. So I ended up at Barnes & Noble, grabbed a coffee, and I found a copy of Dr. Elaine Aaron's book called The Highly Sensitive Person, and took the quiz, and I was like, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. Like, just check mark after check mark. So I feel like I'm pretty lucky that I've had that knowledge, because a lot of people don't even know that they are highly sensitive. So it just kind of led me on this journey of self-exploration. It definitely informed my professional career trajectory and how I handled a lot of things moving forward.
Okay. Can you give us a definition of that? What is that? Because, I mean, people could take that. I can just think of what people are thinking right now, even in this first couple minutes. Like, what is that? Let's define it first before we get into it, because I think it, you know, it has led you to some career decisions and helping others as well that might.
100%. Yes. Yeah. So when you are a highly sensitive person, you basically notice a lot of subtleties that others don't. I think, to your point, when people hear that, they think like highly emotional or, you know, weak or not able to experience difficult things. But basically, it's a personality trait that people are born with, and they see it in over 100 different species of animals. They see it in monkeys, they see it in bees, and they found that it is an evolutionary response to surviving as a species. So they believe that a certain percentage of your population has this trait, so we can sense danger, warn the others, and make sure that our species is thriving. So what that means for us, while that might sound kind of cool, it can be tough because it means that we notice a lot. So for example, you know, if I walk into a room with a non-HSP, they may see the people in the room, see the things going on, but I am recognizing emotions. I'm recognizing people, how they're feeling. I'm seeing colors, I'm hearing music. So at the end of the day, you're feeling so much more drained because you notice so many more details in everyday life. It's because we're wired to sense danger, but it can be overwhelming, especially if you're not aware of it. And especially if you don't know how to, you know, make sure that you're taking care of yourself and know how your body responds, because we're all very different.
Yeah. Is this much like what they call synesthesia?
I've never heard of that term, so I'm
Okay.
not sure.
All right. Yeah. So
Share
it
with me about
sounds a lot like it. But I mean, getting into that, how did you, I mean, you went into a bookstore, but what was happening prior to that? Like, I'm pretty sensitive too. Like, I mean, because I think that's what led me to get my license as a therapist, and that's what has led me to do some really good work with people. But it can be overwhelming and draining. So I have to actually watch how much I do, who I do it with. So these are those things, because I, there was a time when I didn't know that, similar to what you're talking about, and I got burnt out. Okay.
So before I knew it, it was a lot of emotional ups and downs. It was a lot of why am I so bothered by this, or why can't I get past this feeling? A lot of beating myself up, a lot of overthinking, and wondering if my emotions were healthy, fear that there might be something wrong with me.
Oh boy.
So learning that about yourself, that like you were born this way, there's people like this, it could actually be really awesome, and you can use it to your benefit, was extremely helpful and comforting.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, and I read a little bit about this in my book too, is, I think the first chapter actually starts out, "Are you crazy?" I mean, I thought I was, for a while, I thought, "Man, you're losing your ever-loving mind." And I got I was, but it didn't happen this early like it did for you. So I struggle with that a little bit, whether that, that I qualify for HSP or not. It's just that, being highly empathetic and not knowing what to do with that can bring its own set, like you said, it can bring its own set of challenges.
100%. And the empathy part of that, I believe because HSPs are so in tune with our emotions, we're so emotionally charged, and it's something that like we try and deal with throughout our lives. So it's something that's always forward in our mind. Like the personal development, a lot of that is with our emotional responses. But because we understand our emotions and emotions in general, we understand others and that empathy. I mean, it's so easy for us to put others, needs, wants before our own, and careers, personal lives. So it's important to remember, how setting boundaries and taking care of yourself, how to do that is so important.
Okay, you mentioned something. You just said setting boundaries. Is
Yeah.
do you find that to be part and parcel of, somebody that is more highly sensitive? Do they have more difficulty with that?
100%. It's such a struggle for so many people and people in general, I think. But with HSPs, we're so in tune with how people feel that it's hard to say no. It's hard to look out for ourselves and our needs because we're always worried about other people's needs. In the office, this might be like, I have a ton of work on my plate, but so and so is kind of pressuring me to do this for her, even though she doesn't need me to, but I feel obligated to. Whereas someone who may be highly sensitive that has a bit more confidence in building these boundaries can say, I would love to help you. I really just can't right now. And that might feel very difficult for HSPs, especially who struggle with self-confidence, to set that boundary, say no, thank you, to take an extra day off without feeling bad about it. To regroup, recharge. It's these things you need to kind of safeguard your energy. It's so important, especially being highly sensitive because you get run down so much more easily. So, in a way, you're helping yourself show up as a better partner, a better friend, a better coworker when you can set those boundaries and know, like, I need time to show up for you in a better way.
Now you, again, you coach a lot of people that, kind of have or demonstrate some of these characteristics. So, I would imagine, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that they have these same kind of issues, especially the boundary issues, probably with some of their family members.
And I did too. Ask my brother. It's, I think a lot of our challenges come down to self-confidence or lack thereof. Because I remember when it was so hard for me to say no, set these boundaries, stick up for myself and my needs, it was when I really lacked that self-confidence, when I thought there was something wrong with me. You just kind of go along with what everyone's asking you or saying. It's harder to, you know, stand up for yourself and be that presence. But once you practice, and so the people that I work with, a lack of self-confidence really shows up in so many areas of their lives, with personal relationships, professional relationships. So a lot of the work we do is often working on the self-confidence part first. Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty amazing to watch how it kind of affects every other area of their life. Kind of comes from within. And that might sound silly or obvious, but it's so true.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the people watching, what I'm gathering here, and again, yeah, I've gone through a little bit of this myself and with other people, is, you know, if we could, you know, if we could just press that button, like a lot of people will just say, hey, just get over it. I don't think that happens very quickly for somebody that's there, because you just kind of ruminate, right? It's like over and over, and there's more feeling to it. It's not as logical, right?
Oh my gosh. I feel like you're speaking my language, because ruminate is the word. Overthinking is a thing. Because we think through things so deeply and we enjoy it. You know, the HSPs are the creatives, the deep mm-hmm. thinkers, the introverts. Some, I mean, only 70% of HSPs are introverts. And we're all so different, but anyway, so the overthinking, there's an emotion attached to it, right? It's not just like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's, why did I say that? What kind of a person am I? Like, and you just go over and over these things in your head, and it can really stop you in your tracks and prevent you from making progress.
Yeah. Just what are, like, yeah, and this might be backtracking a little bit, but what are some, like, misconceptions that other people might have? And even people that are, I mean, I think they have some misconceptions. You've mentioned them too. We've mentioned them, but what are some misconceptions that other people might have about more highly sensitive people?
Yeah, I think people assume, especially with highly sensitive introverts, the quieter types, I think people assume that because we're often emotional, that we can't handle difficult things. That's one thing, which is absolutely false. It may take us longer to move on after something terrible happens, but that's because we think through it so much more deeply. We process it. We like to take our time. So it's not that we can't go through difficult things. And I find it interesting too, that people that are not highly sensitive see that with highly sensitive people, but so do we. Mm-hmm. We see that about ourselves. Like, I can't go through this difficult thing. But I've seen time and time again that, like, you can build resilience. Like, it takes practice. It might be harder because it feels more uncomfortable. And you have to remember, like, we're wired for safety. So if something feels uncomfortable or unsafe, which is going outside your comfort zone, which is something everyone struggles with, but I think it's more on a deeper level with HSPs, it can be harder to make that step. It can be harder to engage and practice. So I think people think that we're, not able to have difficult conversations or take feedback. It's true to some sense, but it just might be something that we need more time to internalize and think about before we can move on or give our opinion or things like that. The other thing is, because we can be quiet or introverts, maybe that we're not as engaged, we're not intelligent. So it, like in a room, in a boardroom or a meeting, a lot of the extroverted people who are spitting off the top of their head are often deemed outgoing, extroverted. These are the winners in our company. These are the leaders. And really, the introverts also make great leaders. We need a minute to think things through. We'll probably give you better solutions. We just need the time to think through them more deeply. So I think our society really values extroversion. But I don't know. I see a lot of people recognizing the HSPs as like this new, you know, leadership opportunity. I feel like the it's becoming more known and understood.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, if you look at some of the stats, I can't spit them off the top of my head, but you know, even your better communicators,
yes,
when you actually look at it, or tend to be more introverted. And that doesn't mean that you know, us extroverts can't be good communicators. What it does mean, from, you know, when you go into interview, or you know, when you're bringing people around you and things like that, is that we like to talk.
Yes.
Right. Doesn't mean we can communicate. It doesn't mean we can't.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned something about the engage and disengage. I think when you're highly empathetic like that, and very highly sensitive, and you see those things, you feel them at a deep level, it's easier to disengage. You almost have to. I almost have to sometimes. And remember, I'm actually extroverted. I mean,
yes,
that is a high trait of mine. But you know, I've been accused of being introverted at times. I have a friend who calls me that. He's like, "You're my extroverted introvert."
Yeah.
Because I just sit there sometimes and take in everything, because I'm looking at it, I'm seeing it different, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost hard to explain. And I think that's why what you're probably saying, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're probably, you know, this is like this for a lot of people, that they might be sitting there with the answers or some question that might need to be asked, but then don't say anything, because what do I do with what I feel? How I'm thinking, it doesn't match. Does it match? I don't, there's just all
Yes.
kind of stuff going on, right?
Yeah. And there's been studies, like I just read a book called Quiet, and it's about leadership and introverted leadership in like an extroverted world. And they did a study at Harvard. Basically, the introverts and extroverts in the room, who gave the best ideas when they were either in the room together, just together. You know how a lot of people have, like, a lot of companies have like brainstorm meetings. A lot of the introverts might not talk much, but if they're given these problems to think about, ruminate, really think through them deeply, they actually come up with better solutions long term. So yeah, the quiet person in the room, it doesn't mean there's not much going on. Actually, it's probably the opposite. They're probably deep in thought and taking everything in and noticing every detail. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what we teach, even with the assessments that we use. So you're right, you're par for the course. I mean, you are speaking some truth there, because you know, you do have that person that might not look like they're contributing, but they are contributing a lot. And you know, when you give them time to think, when you give them time to process, they come back with, you know, some pretty significant ideas, whether it be for, you know, the team, their family, whatever. So yeah, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of truth there. Are there any other misconceptions that we might have not covered yet about, you know, highly sensitive people? If you think of it, we can come back. But, you know, we always are trying to offer for people, like, how do I get better? Like, you know, your best day yet.
Yes.
That's why we call the podcast. So it's about personal and professional development. So I want to dip in a little bit to hear about your coaching style. So if, you know, if people relate to this, they can reach out to you and get some more information. So can you tell us a little bit more about your coaching style and what you're doing with people?
Yeah. So one of the things I've really learned about myself, and I'm a big proponent of the belief that if you're struggling with something, there's a million other people struggling with the same thing. So I've really found out that like the coaching and the pushing and the striving just isn't for me. I mean, I push myself, I coach myself, I strive for things, but in a very different way. For example, like a drill sergeant, if it comes to mind, like things like that actually make me less productive. And I think it's the process that most people seek, you know, when they're trying to succeed or move forward in the career or develop professionally, personally. It's, you know, what can I add to my list? What can I add to my day? What can I add to what I, my plate. And I found that for me, it's actually taking things away, simplifying. I need, in order to be more productive, a more gentle process. I need to be gentle on myself. Actually, this year, when I was looking over my goals, I took half of them out because I was really beating myself up for not achieving everything on that list every day, to the point where it was like, I'm never going to get this done. You know, the negative mm-hmm. self-talk. So I took out half my list, and I've been like way more productive. It sounds counterintuitive, but it's so true. So that's really the coaching process that mm-hmm. I do with my clients. I encourage an every other week schedule so they have time between to really think things through, to try, practice, so that they come refreshed and have, you know, the next thing to go on to. You know, HSPs often don't do well with a lot of change all at once. So we focus on small steps every day that in the long run add up to great change, but it doesn't feel like that. It's not an assault on, you know, your nervous system. So my process is very gentle. I'm very into reflective inquiry. I think we get in our heads so much, and we tell ourselves these stories about the reasons we can't do things. So I'm really just a thinking partner, and I listen deeply and just use my intuition and my sensitivity to kind of pull out gently what might be really going on and how my clients can move forward in a better direction that feels good for them. There's no pushing, there's no yelling, there's no, forcing. I enjoy, and so do my clients, a more kind of organic, natural process.
Yeah, I like that, thinking partner. I really.
Exactly.
So for those, I have some contact information, but people often are asking how they get in touch with you. Do you just want to give them that? I mean, we'll put them in the show notes, but your email is K Marshall,
yeah. Right?
Two L's at the end of Marshall. Yes. At happyhspcoaching.com, correct?
Yeah.
They can reach you on Instagram at happyhspcoaching. And then you also are on TikTok, happyhspcoaching. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
All right. And if we're not connected yet, let's go ahead and get connected as well.
I'd love that.
Perfect. All right. Any last words?
No, I was thinking about your question before about other like things that people might assume about highly sensitive people. Uh-huh. And one of them that came to mind was, being able to take feedback in the workplace. It can be tough for HSPs to take that. But when you have a leader that you're working for who has the empathy, who is probably more HSP themselves mm-hmm. or not. But you have to trust your employees. You have to trust yourself that you can take the feedback that you're given. And HSPs will take that, and they will take it to heart, and they will take it very seriously. We're extremely diligent and serious about the roles that we play in our jobs. So it's make sure that you're not thinking that we can't handle what you have for us. Give us that opportunity to take what you have to say and step up and improve ourselves. We appreciate feedback. It's just sometimes it's hard to take, because the emotional connection.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you for being on. Thank you for being a guest. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the insight. Can definitely relate to some of the things that you said. And, maybe down the road, we'll have you back on as well. So
I love that. Thank you.
Again, gang, Kimberly Marshall, her email, kmarshall@happyhspcoaching.com, on Instagram @happyhspcoaching, same on TikTok. So that's all, folks. Thanks for watching and listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you want any more information, visit us at centerforvictory.com. And remember, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, make sure you make this day your best day yet. We'll see you soon.